ஓம் நம சிவாய். டியர் லிசனர்ஸ் ஆஃப் சைவம் டாட் ஆர், தி நெக்ஸ்ட் ப்ரோக்ராம் இஸ் ஸ்பிரிச்சுவல் டிஸ்கோர்ஸ். இன் திஸ் யூ ஆர் அபவுட் டு லிசன் கவாய் ஹிந்து லெக்சர்ஸ். தி டைட்டில்ஸ் ஆர் வில் பவர் அண்ட் சேஞ்ச், இம்ப்ரூவ் லைஃப், லிவிங் வித் சிவா ஸ்பிரிச்சுவாலிட்டி, மென் அண்ட் விமன் ஆர் நாட் த சேம், ஆகாஷகர்மா, ஃபோர்மோஸ்ட் கோல், Remain apart, eternal now, ethical treatment of animation, presented by Sri Sadguru Sivaya Subramanya Swami. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
Bridging with Shiva, lesson 274, The Ideals of Family Life. If both husband and wife are on the spiritual path, the household or family will progress beautifully and deeply. Their love for one another and their offspring maintains family harmony. However, the nature of their sadhana and unfoldment of the spirit is different from that of the sannyasin. The family unit itself is an odic force structure. It is a magnetic force structure, a material structure. For they are involved in the objects and relationships of the world. It is the family's effort to be in the world, but not of it, that gives the impetus for insight and the awakening of the soul. The struggle to maintain the responsibilities of the home and children, while simultaneously observing the contemplative way, in itself provides strength and balance and slowly matures innate wisdom through the years. The successful Hindu household or family is stable, an asset to the larger community in which it lives, an example of joyous, contented relationships. Members of the family are more interested in serving than being served. They accept responsibility for one another. They are pliable, flexible, able to flow freely like water. They worship and meditate daily without fail and strictly observe their individual sadhanas. Their insight is respected and their advice sought, yet they do not bring the world into their home, but guard and protect the home vibration as the spiritual center of their life. Their commitments are always first to the family, then to the community. Their home remains sacrosanct, apart from the world, a place of reflection, growing, and peace. They intuitively know the complex workings of the world, the forces and motivations of people, and often guide others to perceptive action. Yet, they do not display exclusive spiritual knowledge or put themselves above their fellow man. Problems for them are merely challenges, opportunities for growth. Forgetting themselves in their service to the family and their fellow man, they become pure channels for love and light. Intuition unfolds naturally. What is unspoken is more tangible than what is said. Their timing is good, and abundance comes. They live simply, guided by real need and not by novel desire. They are creative, acquiring and using skills such as making their own clothing, growing food, building their own house and furniture. The inner knowing awakened by their meditations is brought directly into the busy details of everyday life. They use the forces of procreation wisely to produce the next generation and not as instinctive indulgence. They worship profoundly and seek and find spiritual revelations in the midst of life. Within each family, the man is predominantly in the Pingala force. The woman is predominantly in the Ida force. When the energies are the other way around, disharmony is the result. When they live together in harmony and have awakened enough innate knowledge of the relation of their forces to balance them, then both are in the Sushumna force and can soar into the divinity within. Children born to such harmonious people come through from deeper chakras and tend to be highly evolved and well-balanced. Om Namah Shivaya. Merging with Shiva, Lesson 280, Mutual Appreciation. Tremendous confusion can exist within the family if the man and the woman think that they are the same and are flowing through the same areas of the external mind. The only area that they should flow through together is the Sushumna, the spiritual, and when they are both intently in the intuitive mind, they will unravel deep and profound things together. She is in the home, making things nice for him. When he returns from his mental involvements in the world, it is up to him to get out of the intellectual mind and into the spiritual currents of his superconsciousness in order to communicate with her at all, other than on a subconscious, physical, or materialistic level. For harmony to prevail between a man and a woman, he has to live fully within his own nature, and she has to live fully within her own nature. Each is king and queen of their respective realms. If each respects the uniqueness of the other, then a harmonious condition in the home exists. A good rule to remember: the man does not discuss his intellectual business problems with his wife, and she does not work outside the home. He solves his problems within himself, or discusses them with other men. When he has a problem, he should go to an expert to solve it, not bring it home to talk over. If he does, the forces in the home become congested. The children yell and scream and cry. A contemplative home where the family can meditate has to have an uplifting, temple-like vibration. In just approaching it, the Sushumna current of the man should withdraw awareness from the pingala current deep within. That is what the man can do when he is the spiritual head of the home. A woman depends on a man for physical and emotional security. She depends on herself for her inner security. He is the guide and the example. A man creates this security by setting a positive spiritual example. When she sees him in meditation and sees light around his head and light within his spine, she feels secure. She knows that his intuition is going to direct his intellect. She knows he will be decisive, fair, clear-minded in the external world. She knows that when he is at home, he turns to inner and more spiritual things. He controls his emotional nature, and he does not scold her if she has a hard time controlling her emotional nature, because he realizes that she lives more in the Ida force and goes through emotional cycles. In the same way, she does not scold him if he is having a terrible time intellectually, solving several business problems, because she knows he is in the intellectual force, and that is what happens in that realm of the mind. She devotes her thought and energy to making the home comfortable and pleasant for him and for the children. He devotes his thought and energy to providing sustenance and security for that home. The man seeks understanding through observation. The woman seeks harmony through devotion. He must observe what is going on within the home, not talk too much about it, other than to make small suggestions with much praise and virtually no criticism. He must remember that his wife is making a home for him, and he should appreciate the vibration she creates. If he's doing well in his inner life, is steady and strong, and she is devoted, she will flow along in inner life happily also. She must strive to be one with him, to back him up in his desires and his ambitions and what he wants to accomplish in the outside world. This makes him feel strong and stand straight with head up. She can create a successful man of her husband very easily by using her wonderful intuitive powers. Together, they make a contemplative life by building the home into a temple-like vibration so blissful, so uplifting. Om Namah Shivaya. Merging with Shiva, Lesson 281, 14 Regions of Consciousness. Hindu scriptures speak of three worlds, 14 worlds, and countless worlds. These are different ways to describe Shiva's infinite creation. Of the 14 worlds, 7 are counted as rising above the earth, and 7 as descending below it. Correspondingly, there are 14 great nerve centers in the physical body, in the astral body, and in the body of the soul. These centers are called chakras in Sanskrit, which means wheels. These spinning vortexes of energy are actually regions of mind power, each one governing certain aspects of the inner man, and together they are the subtle components of people. When inwardly perceived, they are vividly colorful and can be heard. In fact, they are quite noisy, since color, sound, and energy are all the same thing in the inner realms. When awareness flows through any one or more of these regions, the various functions of consciousness operate, such as the functions of memory, reason, and willpower. There are 6 chakras above the Muladhara chakra, which is located at the base of the spine. When awareness is flowing through these chakras, consciousness is in the higher nature. There are 7 chakras below the Muladhara chakra, and when awareness is flowing through them, consciousness is in the lower nature. In this Kali Yuga, most people live in the consciousness of the 7 force centers below the Muladhara chakra. Their beliefs and attitudes strongly reflect the animal nature, the instinctive mind. We want to lift our own consciousness and that of others into the chakras above the Muladhara. This brings the mind out of the lower nature into the higher nature. We do this through personal sadhana, prayer, meditation, right thought, speech, and action, and love of Lord Shiva, who is all in all. The Muladhara chakra, the divine seat of Lord Ganesha, is the dividing point between the lower nature and the higher nature. It is the beginning of religion for everyone, entered when consciousness arrives out of the realms below Lord Ganesha's holy feet. The physical body has a connection to each of the 7 higher chakras through a plexus of nerves along the spinal cord and in the cranium. As the Kundalini force of awareness travels along the spine, it enters each of these chakras, energizing them and awakening in turn each function. In any one lifetime, man may be predominantly aware in 2 or 3 centers, thus setting the pattern for the way he thinks and lives. He develops a comprehension of these 7 regions in a natural sequence, the perfection of one leading logically to the next. Thus, though he may not be psychically seeing the spinning forces within himself, man nevertheless matures through memory, reason, willpower, cognition, universal love, divine sight, and spiritual illumination. It may help as we examine each of these centers individually to visualize man as a seven-storied building, with each story being one of the chakras. Awareness travels up and down in the elevator, and as it goes higher and higher, it gains a progressively broader, more comprehensive and beautiful vista. Reaching the top floor, it views the panorama below with total understanding, not only of the landscape below, but also of the relation of the building to other buildings and of each floor to the next. In Sanatana Dharma, another analogy is used to portray the chakras, that of a lotus flower. This flower grows in lakes and pools, taking root in the slimy mud below the surface where no light penetrates. Its stem grows upward toward the light until it breaks the surface into fresh air and sunshine. The energy of the sun then feeds the bud and leaves until the delicate lotus blossom opens. The first chakra is called the root chakra, Muladhara. Awareness takes root in the baser instincts of human experience and then travels through the waters of the intellect, becoming more and more refined as it evolves, until finally it bursts into the light of the superconscious mind, where it spiritually flowers into the 1,008 petal lotus chakra at the top of the head. By examining the functions of these seven great force centers, we can clearly cognize our own position on the spiritual path and better understand our fellow man. Om Namah Shivaya. We are greeting you from Kwai Arinam, a cyberspace ashram from satellite to earth. Tune in every day. This is the first of the daily messages to get you started for a new day, make you positive. First thing when you get up in the morning, turn on your computer and come to the ashram for darshan, and we will together project ourselves through space to you into the wonderful Akasha of the mind. Today is August 16th, the first day in 1998 that our electronic ashram has opened its doors to you, to bring you right into the ashram. We're having darshan together. You're seeing me and I'm seeing you in my inner mind through the Akasha. It's magical, it's mystical, and it is possible. We're looking at each other. You're having my darshan, I'm having your darshan. We'll do this every day. Come tomorrow, August 17th and 18th and 19th and 20th. Our karmas have brought us together for a brief moment on this wonderful day, the first day of our electronic ashram. Welcome. Very happy to be together. We're on the garden island of Kauai. Perhaps you can hear the waves crashing against the coral reefs in the background. It's a very beautiful sunny day, and we greet you and love you and wish you a wonderful day or evening, as the case may be, facing life with a big smile and a positive willpower. Willpower is very important in the world today. Love in the will, the spirit is free. It's a beautiful day, and the whole world will see that the hope of the world is love, and peace in the home will bring peace in the county, in the state, in the nation, and worldwide. Tomorrow, there's another message, and another message the next day, and the next day, and the next day. This is our electronic ashram in cyberspace. See you again tomorrow. Om Namah Shivaya. So this is the message this morning. Sutra 1 says, all seekers of truth shall strive for God realization as their first and foremost goal of life. They learn to dance with Shiva, live with Shiva, merge with Shiva. Deep within, they find their eternal, immortal oneness with Shiva. Isn't that wonderful? That's a really a wonderful message. That's why you're here in a physical body. That's why you're here in this room today. Just to hear that. All seekers of truth, that's all of you, shall strive for God realization. Shall means you have to do it. You don't have a choice. As the first and foremost goal of life. First and foremost goal of life. Surpasses your business, surpasses your education. First and foremost goal of life. They learn to dance with Shiva, live with Shiva, and merge with Shiva. Deep within they find their eternal immortal oneness with Shiva. And you're one with Shiva right now. Shiva's within you. And you're within Shivaness. The same energy in your body comes from Shiva's in my body. In everybody here's body. All our living the Shiva Sutras today. Sutra number 12. All seekers of truth must endeavor to be the best in whatever they do. Excel and make a difference. However, they should remain apart from the demeaning and contentious winner and loser spirit of competition. Now that's a very good thing for us to caution all of the shishya, is that when you get with the people who are put down people, demeaning or contentious, argumentative, they're the winner and loser people. They enjoy seeing somebody else suffer just a little bit. It gives them a thrill in their lower nature. Wisdom would say, stay away from those people. Avoid their company. Maintain your own tranquility. August 19th. Greetings, everyone. We're really happy to be together again. And also, a lot of things are happening here at Ko'anilam. Quite a busy place. To be centered in the eternal now, that takes a little bit of doing. But no matter what happens around us, we have to realize that the past and the future all exist right now. The past and the future all exist right now. That's a wonderful statement. I've been making that statement for over 50 years. It's very hard to convince people. But through cyberspace, talking to you this very moment, I feel like you caught the idea. The past and the future all exist right now. The eternity of the moment, basically, is the only time. It's a very short time. Goes second by second by second by second. The past and the future exist in a totality right now. What is the past? Our memory patterns. What is the future? Our hopes and fears. What is now? Sitting among those that we love, sitting among those that support us and that we support, a communication between people and people, animals and people, people and plants and people. Love, appreciation, gratitude. Have a wonderful day, everyone. express love today. Give kind words of appreciation and gratitude for all the good that's in your life this very moment, the eternal moment, second by second by second. The past and the future exist right now. August 20th, another wonderful day. And you saw a beautiful little cow that was born. And on the same day, we received a letter from the people of the Ethical Treatment of Animals, one of America's foremost institutions. Aggressive ministry, this institution, it totally exists so that we treat animals properly. Well, the little cow got lost, and the entire Arinam was out looking for the cow. And who found the cow? A cat. One of the Madhavasi, our monks from Malaysia, decided that the cat would know where the cow was. So he picked up the cat and started walking around. The cat smelled the cow and jumped out of his arms, and he found the cow. That was not a very easy thing to do, because we were walking around 51 acres. Anyway, the cow that ran away and got lost shortly after birth was found. And now we've been asked to write the Hindu point of view on the ethical treatment of animals. That's a big job, because even now in Hindu temples, animal sacrifice is taking place. I just don't know what I'm going to write. I hope that you will write to Hinduism Today, the editor, and give some suggestions of the Hindu point of view of what we could say. I also think there should be a big organization in America, and maybe there is, of the ethical treatment of children, because children are being abused in many, many homes throughout our country. Many, many Hindu homes also beat, hurt, pinch, slap, take their aggressive stress out on their children. The Asuras live in many homes. Asuras are like devils, you know, rather than angels, guardian devas living in the homes. Anyway, all that aside, we want you to have a wonderful day. These are my concerns, but I thought I'd share it with you today because of the coincidence of the cow and the letter from this coalition to treat animals properly. Give it some thought. Let us hear from you. We need voices, and you'll see your voice here, right here, on the World Wide Web, in cyberspace. If you want it to be confidential, just write, confidential. We'll take the information and use it. We do need your help. We want to preserve animals. We want to preserve children. We want to preserve wives. We want happy homes. This is very important for a new age, which is just breaking and coming into being, but peace and harmony and well-being begins in the home. We need your voice, and we need it today.